Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you all to Sacrament Reading today. We're grateful to have you here. We hope those that are visiting will enjoy their time as well as those that are with us every week. By way of announcements, I will first start by telling you that I'm Brother Holland, and I'll be conducting today, and Bishop Roberts is presiding. We'd like to draw your attention to the ward party announcement that is this Friday. It's listed in the program as the Neighborhood Summer Bash. It's at 6:30 at the Northridge Park. There are assignment sheets that have gone out, and I believe are going out again today in the meetings, and we hope that you can all join us there. We will begin today by singing hymn number 58, Come Ye Children of the Lord, after which Brother Todd Dawson will give the opening prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to gather here this afternoon, grateful for this beautiful building we have to meet in and favorable circumstances. We pray that as we gather here and partake of the sacrament, that we may feel of thy love for us, that we may better understand and appreciate the atonement of our Savior. We're grateful for this day, grateful for the speakers who will speak to us, and pray that thou will bless them with thy Spirit, that they can deliver the message that they have prepared. We give thanks for all things and acknowledge thy hand, and we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have called the following individuals, and we ask them to please stand as their name is read. Peter and Rebecca Madsen have been called as nursery leaders. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may show it in the same sign. Thank you. We'll now prepare for our sacrament by singing hymn number 191, Behold the Great Redeemer Die, after which the sacrament will be administered to the congregation. As I looked out, I recognized that we have a lot of young women visiting today, and I couldn't tell if they were here to listen to Emily play or listen to Colin speak. It might also have to do with Austin or Ethan, I don't know. But we're excited as Ethan prepares to go into the MTC in early July to be able to have his family speak with us today. We will begin by hearing from Colin Beckstead, followed by Austin, then a musical number by Emily, and then Elder Ethan Beckstead will speak to us.
I was asked to speak on the priesthood. Elder Dale G. Renland has taught that the purpose of the priesthood is to provide God's children access to the atoning power of Jesus Christ. In preparing and passing the sacrament, even young priesthood holders are providing access to this atoning power. In January, I received the priesthood at 11 years old. Holding the priesthood has brought me closer to God and made me want to be a better person. So why do we need the priesthood? The Apostle Paul taught, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As President Nelson said, to them you will be as a ministering angel. Angels are authorized messengers sent by God to declare his word. We who hold the Aaronic priesthood have been ordained to teach and invite all to come unto Christ. We can teach the gospel the same way that angels do, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So why doesn't God send angels to the earth to teach the gospel? If angels appeared on the earth, we would not need to have faith to believe. That is why God must teach through priesthood holders. In Douglas D. Holmes' General Conference talk, he shared a story about receiving a group of new missionaries as a mission president. The experienced missionaries were preparing for a meeting with the new missionaries. They arranged children's chairs in a semicircle. Elder Holmes asked, "What's up with the little chairs?" The missionaries replied, "They're for the new missionaries." Elder Holmes shares that sometimes we figuratively give young priesthood holders children's chairs rather than helping them see that God has given them a sacred work to do. One aspect of this sacred work for deacons is to pass the sacrament. In Elder Oak's October 1998 address, he states, "Deacons should pass the sacrament in a reverent and orderly manner with no needless motions or expressions that call attention to themselves. In all their actions, they should avoid distracting any member of the congregation from worship and covenant making. Since I've had the opportunity to pass the sacrament for the past 6 months, I've tried to follow that counsel. It has helped me feel the Spirit during the sacrament and hopefully helped others feel reverence. I've enjoyed having the responsibilities of a deacon, and it will help me with my future responsibilities as a teacher, priest, and elder. I'm thankful for my brother's examples in the priesthood. I bear my testimony that the priesthood is a sacred power of God and testify of the power of the priesthood. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
Hi, my name is Austin Beckstead. I'm very excited for Ethan's decision to serve a mission and for this opportunity to speak to you about the priesthood. In the priesthood session of the April 2018 General Conference, Douglas D. Holmes, the first counselor in the Young Men General Presidency, gave a talk called "What Every Aaronic Priesthood Holder Needs to Understand." He teaches that the purpose of the priesthood is to provide God's children access to the atoning power of Jesus Christ through belief, repentance, and ordinances. As we use these things continually in our lives and help others use them as well, we will progress and grow closer to God. I recently returned from a trip to Lima, Peru for HEFY, which was an awesome opportunity for me to prepare for serving a mission. A major theme of the trip was, "What were you born to do?" So while there, I continually thought about my purpose on earth and how I can accomplish what I need to in my life. One thing that stood out to me was the importance of staying worthy, so I am always ready to use the priesthood and live a life guided by the Spirit, so I don't miss opportunities to help others and grow as an individual. The first step to providing others with the blessings and of the atonement of Christ is teaching them the gospel through the ministering of angels, so they know the truth for themselves and have a desire to grow spiritually. DNC 11:21 says, "Seek not to declare my word, but first seek to obtain my word. And then shall your tongue be loosed. Then, if you desire, you shall have my Spirit and my word, yea, the power of God unto the convincing of men." The duty of a priesthood holder and of a faithful member of the church is to obtain a testimony of the gospel, which will allow us to share it with others through the Spirit. A wonderful opportunity that I had in Peru was to visit different members' homes and teach lessons about the gospel to them. Many of them had very little, and it was a blessing to see the faith and hope the gospel brought into their lives. Because my main focus was studying the gospel and serving others, I was able to overcome language barriers and situational differences and powerfully teach these members with the Spirit, which was a super cool experience for me. Hearing the gospel allows children of God to obtain faith and prepare for the ordinances in the church, an area most commonly associated with the priesthood. 2 Nephi 9:23 says, "And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God." This shows that faith followed by ordinances is required for our salvation. I know that my faith is not perfect, but what is truly important is my willingness to improve daily. The ministering of angels and the ordinances of the gospel are closely tied because increased faith creates a desire to repent and change, and ordinances are required for the remission of sins after repentance. In order to help others change, we must experience the joys of the atonement ourselves and then tell others of the peace and hope it provides. In Peru, I experienced the impact of uplifting examples firsthand. We spent most of our time on the worksite where we started building a preschool. Everybody worked super hard, and I was inspired by the service and physical and spiritual strength of the members of my group. Seeing this motivated me to work harder to improve in many ways. This allowed me to think about the sacrament as an opportunity to change, each week trying a little harder to be a little better. Everyone in my group was in a different spot spiritually, but I was able to see a little bit of how God saw each of them, wanting them to grow closer to Him and use the atonement in each of their lives to improve. I also saw many of them reaching out to me, encouraging me to do so as well. This helped me realize my duty as a priesthood holder and member of the church to help others want to change, and then show them how they can do so. Through the Savior's atoning power, we can be forgiven of our sins through baptism and the sacrament, as long as we repent with a sincere desire to change. President Holmes says, "Young men, as you diligently engage in your priesthood duties, you participate with God in his work to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Experiences like these increase your desire and prepare you to teach repentance and baptize converts as missionaries. I'm amazed at the trust that God puts in his children, and believe that this trust is essential. As earlier in the talk he says, I believe the way we see others significantly impacts their perception of who they are and what they can become. God allows us to participate in his work, which shows our infinite potential to become like him. Understanding this inspires me to improve and eventually reach this high goal. As we participate in priesthood ordinances, share our testimonies with others, and look to change ourselves, we are participating in God's work. I know that God has a work for each of us to do, and that if we stay in tune with the Spirit and live righteously, we will be able to discover what it is we must do to help others and ourselves achieve salvation. The priesthood is an essential part of God's plan because it gives us the way to use Christ's atonement to improve and be made clean. As we learn, live, and teach the gospel, we are providing others access to Christ's infinite atonement. I'm very grateful for this gospel, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Holland. I'm Ethan Beckstead, soon to be Elder Beckstead, and on July 10th, I'll be entering the MTC in Peru to finish preparing for my mission to Concepcion, Chile. Today, I have been asked to speak about my purpose as a missionary. Since I was assigned this topic, I have been thinking about this question. Why am I going on a mission? The first answer that popped into my mind was that God has commanded that every able and worthy young man should serve a mission. So in serving a mission, I am keeping the commandments. This is a very simple reason to serve, but there is a more important reason for me to serve a mission. Doctrine and Covenants, section 82, verse 9 reads, "I give unto you directions, how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation." So God has given us commandments because he loves us, which means that there is a purpose in him giving us commandments. If I just served a mission because God wanted me to, I'd be confused about what I was supposed to accomplish each day. And so this brings me to the reason God wants me to serve a mission. Preach My Gospel teaches that the purpose of a missionary is to bring the gospel to all the world. God loves the people of Chile, most of whom have not heard the gospel and do not have its blessings in their lives. My purpose as a missionary is to bring the gospel to these people. This makes me think about a time when I lacked the understanding of the gospel and did not accept the blessings of it in my life. When I was in the seventh grade, having recently moved to Utah, I realized that I did not have a faith or belief in the church. For the first couple years, there was no noticeable outward change that one would be able to see in me. But I did not personally read my scriptures or pray. I just pretended to believe, but I was dishonest and committed sins that, without feeling remorse, only thinking about the potential consequences that it would have in this life, because that was all that I believed was real at this time. At school, I mocked religion by sarcastically joking that something I did not want to do was against my religion, and I made up my own religion as a joke. However, in ninth grade, a trial hit me that changed my life forever. At first, I thought it was just a temporary thing that would go away. But during the summer between my ninth and tenth grade years, I realized that it was something that would last. This trial caused me to question what my purpose was in life, because seeking temporary pleasure was not a good enough reason for me to live. My life did not have purpose at this point, and it was very painful and confusing to me. It was at this point in my life that I began to search for religion and take many of the things which I had mocked seriously. I think about this point in my life when I think about all of the people in Chile who do not have the gospel. Many of them are confused and feel that they do not have any purpose in life. It makes me feel sad to think that such a large majority of the world lacks the understanding and purpose that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Book of Mormon bring. It was not until the end of last October that I gained faith in the church and decided to serve a mission. Before that moment, I had no clue what I was going to do with my life, and how I was going to accomplish all of the goals that I had to do to be what I had deemed successful. I was stressed, scared, and confused about the future, and a mission seemed to make the whole situation more messy and impossible for me to reach those goals. However, after making this decision, I have realized that my life will work out even though I will be spending 2 years on a mission. In fact, I cannot imagine how I would be able to not go on a mission. I have found a purpose in life through the gospel and through the decision to serve. In the church, we learn that all people will eventually receive the gospel and that the work of the Lord cannot be stopped. So why is me going on a mission to teach the gospel to these people so important? It is important because we are accelerating his work. Because of my missionary work and other people's missionary work, the people of the world will be able to have the blessings of the gospel much sooner than they would have, rather than spend more time in darkness. My purpose as a missionary is to bring purpose to the lives of people in situations like me. After I realized what my purpose is as a missionary, the next question that came to me was, how was I supposed to accomplish this purpose? To find this answer, I have looked at my life and journey and considered the process that I went through in gaining a testimony of the gospel. I have found 6 major principles of teaching that helped me gain and strengthen my testimony of the gospel. They are 1, teaching by the Spirit, 2, serving others, 3, showing empathy, 4, teaching by example, 5, inviting others to make covenants, and 6, showing love. For each principle, I have a story that shows its importance in my life throughout my conversion process. I believe that these 6 principles of teaching not only are useful for those who are called missionaries, but for anyone who wishes to bless the lives of others with the gospel. The first principle is teaching by the Spirit. At the end of the Book of Mormon, we learn that if we pray and ask with real intent, that we will learn of its truth through the power of the Holy Ghost. I recently read a book called The Case for the Book of Mormon. Throughout the book, it discusses the logic behind why the Book of Mormon and the church are true. I am a very logical-minded person, for those that know me, but when it comes to most things, I try to make decisions based on logic rather than emotion. However, when it comes to religion, I trust my feelings more than I trust logic. That is why I love that this book concludes by saying that the most sure and best way to know that the Book of Mormon is true is through the Holy Ghost. Inviting the Holy Ghost is essential in order for true conversion to happen. If I rely on my own understanding in teaching the gospel and do not focus on introducing the Spirit, I will not have a lot of success on my mission. Near the end of the hardest summer of my life, I went to EFY, and I was about to be entering high school, and a recent experience had occurred that would haunt me for the next 2 years, and I was at a very low point. I remember the final testimony meeting sharing that I did not believe in God or Jesus or the church, but that I wanted to. And I remember crying so much during that testimony meeting. By the end, I felt a strong feeling of love, despite everything that I had been going through. I did not recognize it then. I thought those feelings were just created by myself and just emotion of the times. But now I realize that I was feeling the Spirit. I was unaware at the time, but this was the first step towards me gaining a testimony in the gospel. The second principle is serving others. Towards the beginning of high school, I met a friend who showed love towards me and helped me deal with some of the trials and confusion I was going through at the time. Halfway through that school year, I made a few bad decisions that destroyed our relationship. I felt extremely devastated at the time. The next day, the reality of what I had done hit me, and it was a dark time for me. It was at this time that the doorbell rang. I opened the door and there was a note that someone had written for me saying that they appreciated me and my example. This anonymous person will probably never know how much of an impact this had on me, but when I felt the same feelings that I felt during that testimony meeting 5 months earlier, I knew without a doubt that God was real for the first time in my life. The greatest teacher and example who all missionaries represent, Jesus Christ, spent the majority of his ministry serving others. It was through his service that Jesus taught through so much power. Unlike Jesus, I am not able to know people's circumstances or how much this service will mean to them, but I do know that there will be times that when I serve other people, that this service will impact their testimony, just as that person impacted me. This is why a missionary spends so much time doing service, because it is through this service that missionary work is done. The third principle is showing empathy. Last summer, I went on a trip to Idaho to visit one of my friends. At this time, I was struggling with a lot of questions, including one major. I also was feeling really alone at this time and had bottled in a lot of mixed feelings. I was also frustrated because I felt that I had spent the last 2 years of my life working hard and earnestly seeking religion, but I had not received answers to my questions. While I was there, I had the opportunity to talk with my friend and one of his other friends about the things that I was going through and the feelings that I had. They shared stories of trials and challenges that they had gone through that were similar to mine. They listened to me, showed they cared, and tried to see the situation through my perspective. Their kindness and ability to relate to me helped give me the strength to push through these challenges and not give up. I'm grateful for their empathy because without it, I do not think that I would be serving a mission. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of empathy. Through his atonement, he is able to relate and understand each of us perfectly. I also find it profound that the Savior always taught through parables so that he could relate his teaching to the people that he taught. The Book of Mormon also has some stories has a lot of stories that are relatable. When I was younger, I did not realize why people thought the story of Alma the Younger was so impactful. However, after my experiences, I relate this story to his story the most, and often connect experiences in his journey with mine. Alma the Younger is now my second favorite character in the scriptures after Jesus because I relate to Alma the Younger the most. I'm grateful for my experiences that I have had through my conversion process because I believe that I will be able to use these stories to relate to the people that I will be teaching in Chile. I know that there are people in Chile who have had experiences that I will be able to relate with some way or another, and I hope that I will be able to use my ability to empathize with them to help them gain a testimony of the gospel, just like my two friends in Idaho helped me. The fourth principle is to teach by example. I have had so many great examples that have helped me prepare to serve a mission. The examples of great leaders and friends who I look up to have helped me make my decision to serve. I am blessed to live in a place where there are so many of these great examples. One person who I really look up to is my cousin Tommy. Last October, I visited him in Washington for fall break. The night that I arrived, we went to a haunted house in Seattle. Afterwards, it was very late, and unfortunately, the car would not start. We tried jumping the car and several other things, but it would not work. After trying to start it one last time, everyone in the car was ready to give up. Tommy was the only one who thought that we should try to pray. After his prayer, we tried to start the car one last time. This time it started, and we all arrived back home safely. This experience is particularly powerful to me because of the faith of all the people in that car. Just the fact that everyone in this car was not surprised that this happened, but had the faith. It's possible that the car starting after the prayer was a coincidence, but not in my eyes. This experience, coupled with a few more personal spiritual experiences that weekend, led me to make the decision to serve a mission. It was at this point in my life that I knew the church was true. Tommy and so many other people have been such amazing examples that I've been lucky to have, and I hope that I will be able to be an example to others. The perfect example was Jesus Christ. I've been called as a missionary to represent him. By learning about him in the scriptures and trying to follow his example, I can become an example for others by representing him. Throughout my first year of high school, I was not a very good example to other people. The things I said and the way I acted did not always represent Jesus Christ very well. However, I have been striving to improve, and though I am not perfect, I've become a much better example than I used to be. I'm grateful that I have had the opportunity to repent and try to improve each day, because I know that by doing this, I have become a much more prepared missionary. Because of my efforts, I know that the Spirit will be with me as I teach on my mission, and that I will be able to teach with complete integrity because I try to practice what I teach to the best of my ability. Being a good example is an essential quality of a good missionary. The fifth principle is encouraging others to make covenants. Whenever I think of missionary work, I think of missionaries baptizing others. There's also a lot of stress in the church on family history work and ordinances such as baptism. So why are these ordinances so important? We know that some ordinances are essential to reach eternal life. Saving ordinances are associated with covenants that are very important. It is through these covenants that we are able to learn and grow and progress more. Without these covenants, the blessings of the gospel are limited. 3 weeks ago, I went to the temple for the first time. Through the covenants I have made in the temple, I have gained more responsibility, which has allowed me to progress more. I now realize why it is so important to get people baptized. Since going through the temple, I've tried to go as often as possible to do endowment sessions. I've also had the opportunity to go to the temple many times to do baptisms and confirmations with my friends. I encourage all those in the audience who have not received ordinances and covenants to prepare to make these covenants, and I also encourage all those who have made covenants to think about their covenants each day and try to recommit to them each week during the sacrament. The sixth principle is love. One thing that I have started doing in my prayers is to pray that I can feel love for the people of Chile. Loving the people you teach is an important characteristic as a missionary. Without love, the other five principles are not nearly as effective or possible to use in missionary work. Love should be the motivation behind missionary work. God loves all of his children so much, and that is why he has sent Jesus and has restored this church. Jesus Christ is another perfect example of love. Everything he did in his life, from the teaching to the miracles, was in love. Throughout his atonement, he understands all of us and loves us despite knowing the worst of all of us. Sometimes loving others is hard to do, especially when they do not treat us the best. But I know that God loves each of us. last summer, I went on a humanitarian trip to Ecuador. I had a hard time loving others at this time and feeling loved at the same time. During this trip, I met so many amazing people. Some were hard to get along with. Most of them were the type of people that I would not get along with in most situations. However, through service and getting to know these people, I grew to love all of them. And I felt their love for me throughout this trip. Their love has had a huge impact on me for the better. And I'm so grateful. This experience has led me to realize that through service and focus on Jesus and the gospel, loving others becomes much easier. This school year, the love I have felt for my friends has had a huge impact on me going on my mission. I've grown close to many friends in high school, especially Taylor, Eli, and Josh over there. They have shown so much love to me when I did not deserve it. These guys have some of the best Christ-like love that I've ever seen. Their examples of patience and forgiveness have had the biggest impact of all on me going on my mission. I am so excited for them as they prepare to go on their missions, and I know that they will also be amazing missionaries. Since the time I decided to go on a mission, I have seen so much change in my life. No, the burdens of life have not become easier. Rather, I have seen more trials come into my life in the past year. However, through the gospel, I have been strengthened to bear the burdens easier, and the gospel has given me hope to push through these trials. I know that missionaries can change lives, and I know that if I try my best to teach by the Spirit, serve others, show empathy, and be a good example, invite those I teach to make covenants, and most importantly, love everyone, the others will be blessed just as I have been. I'd like to close by thanking all the members of this ward just for their support and my family and everything. I'm so grateful for all of you guys, and I know that the church is true. I know that there are prophets today. I know that the Book of Mormon is true, and I know that is the most important thing in the world. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going on a mission, you know. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We would like to thank Colin, Austin, Emily, and especially Ethan for the wonderful talks which they gave today and for sharing. We will close by singing hymn number 258, O Thou Rock of Our Salvation, after which the closing prayer will be given by Dennis Buman. I would like to make two other short announcements at this time. Just as a reminder, there is a ward party this Friday. It is in the program. It's at 6:30 at the Northridge Park. We invite you all to attend. And secondly, so that you can prepare yourselves, those of you that are planners, not today, but next Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday, we will be having a combined meeting for Relief Society Priesthood in the chapel, as well as a combined lesson. No, we will also have the Laurels and Priests and Maya Maids and teachers also in that lesson with us. And then a combined lesson for the deacons and the beehives together. That's next Sunday, not today, but you can prepare for it.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, we are most grateful to attend sacrament meeting today, to have the privilege and the freedom to attend church and to worship Thee. We pray at this time Thou especially bless Ethan on his mission, but all the missionaries serving from our ward throughout the world, wilt thou bless and keep and help them, give them strength and wisdom. We're grateful for the missionary program and realize that it has a great impact on the peace and the welfare of this earth. We pray thou'lt help us to support the missions in all ways we can. We're grateful for our prophet, for his energy, for his strength, and that he conveys thy word to us. Wilt thou help us to believe the things he teaches and accept them and enthusiastically bring them into our lives. We pray thou bless us throughout the remaining of this Sabbath day. We can keep the day holy, that we can worship thee. We can do all things we can to grow closer to thee. We pray for those in our ward who are struggling. Wilt thou help and bless and strengthen them. We ask thy blessings, Father, and give thanks for all we have. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.